Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Syndicate, episode 127.
Comics,
I'm here with my boy.
Syndicate, Mem the Beaner.
I'm at for the villain, loving the shirt.
Like the Batman?
Yeah.
Fucking tent size, bro.
That's cool, man. It'll glow in the dark.
I don't think so.
Cool.
All right, man. Kids like it.
How you doing? How was your weekend?
Weekend was busy.
Busy.
Cooking
okay.
And shit.
Oh yes, you cooked wings and I don't know what else you cooked.
Potato salad.
Awesome. And you cooked? That's why I sent you that message.
My fucking Margo cooked, but I got in a big fight with my sister
over
because she's all like fucking. Oh, I go, we're going to bring wings.
Okay.
And then she's all, like, chatting. And she's all, like, and potato salad, ? I go, what the fuck? That shit isn't cheap because we make it from the house, you know? We got to buy it. I'm like, what the fuck are you bringing?
Well, a bag of potatoes isn't bad, but everything else, yeah.
Everything's the fucking mayonnaise, the fucking olives, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's bringing, like, some nasty fucking buffalo chicken sliders. And I go, what the fuck is that?
Were they good?
No, they weren't.
How many did you eat?
I had one just to fucking make her feel
good.
I made her feel better. I had one, and that's how, I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like, we got in this big fight. I'm like, you know what? It costs too much to cut that money. You know, you're a fucking cheap game.
Oh, straight up, man.
Fuck
you. One of those days, huh?
Stupid fucking Bronco fan, bitch.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry.
So, okay, we're going to hit the football talk real quick. Talk about three words, Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, it was so boring.
All right, we're not going to go in depth in it. Everyone has their own feelings, man. And I think everyone... Go up. Three sentences, take it.
I think the best part of the whole Super Bowl was Eli's reaction.
I was thinking the same
that
thing.
That was the best. I was like,
yeah.
What
yeah, dude.
The fuck? Right? That's three words.
Priceless.
What
priceless.
The fuck? Priceless.
And he had that look like, oh, fuck. I'm not the favorite
Mama
anymore.
Mama said, can't touch pain.
Oh, man. Okay. Yesterday on K-Rock, Ralph Garman is on a local K-Rock state radio station out here in Southern California, the Kevin and Bean Show. Did you hear that skit?
I didn't hear that
skit. Oh, my God. I'll play it for you on our break because it's hilarious. I wouldn't even mind.
Is it a new skit or is it one of his old ones?
No, it's a new one, but it's a good one. Guys, it's totally worth it. Actually, I'll probably play it, too. Anyways.
Yeah.
It was boring, dude. I did not like the game at all. Not the fact that it was one-sided. Props, mad props to the Denver defense. Again, not to take anything away from that defense. But fuck, it was
a boring game. There was a lot of calls not called.
Yeah, totally.
Like, wow.
And the other takeaway is Cam Newton, I lost respect for him.
He's a little bitch.
He's a total bitch. A little whiny kid.
When he fell on the ground, he didn't even go for the fucking fumble.
He
bro.
Dropped the ball, and he fucking didn't have enough balls to go for the
and
fucking ball.
You know what? Fuck you, reporters. I don't want to talk to you. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So many things, so many speculations on that, but just his on the field, like you said,
MVP,
acting like a little kid.
MVP, right?
He's a little bitch, and I was hoping he would have fucking manned up.
He
and
choked
big time.
So bad. He's never been sacked that many times.
No.
That defense did the same thing they did to Brady.
Yeah.
Sack.
And the Carolina defense did do a good job.
They did.
They kept Peyton under fucking 120.
Yeah, Peyton can't throw anymore.
No. Anyways. But yeah, that's all we're going to talk football. Cool. It sucks, I guess. Our last pool,
next year.
You lost. I had seven right. I had nine right.
I had the yellow cool. The yellow.
Everything was just bad, dude. We don't need to go over those numbers. Just know that all season long, I only.
Well, I was happy when I saw him get the gear. I'm like yellow. Yeah, that's all. It's fucking orange.
But like you said, dude, at the end, seeing that fucking Eli Manning is
that made the Super Bowl.
It really did, though, dude.
All the commercials they had nothing
sucked.
Compared to that.
Completely terrible, dude. All right,
do you really think he was? Like, do you think he's like? Because people said he always has a stupid look to begin with, right? But do you really think, like...
He really does have a stupid look on his face.
Do you think he's jealous now that his brother has two rings and he has two rings?
He always had that over his brother.
That's the only thing
I'm the better quarterback. You're going to get the praise. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. But I'm always going to be second best because you don't have two rings. Or, you know, I was out of your shadow, but now...
Back
I'm back
in
your shadow. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's football.
I mean, that's it for football. I didn't do anything exciting. I would fucking cook some jalapeno poppers.
You did look pretty good.
Yeah, next time we, or just come by, and if you next time yeah. everyone bails, dude, I'll hit you up and we'll just fucking rent
you. You gonna see it by yourself, or do you see it with your dad?
You know what? I was actually chilling at home alone. I was gonna go to my sister's house. I didn't want to call an Uber, and I didn't want to drink and drive because she lives in Orange, which isn't far from me. I live in Anaheim.
That's about 20 something bucks.
Yeah, on top of that though, like checkpoints going down past Angel Stadium to get to her house is like, I just didn't want to deal with that.
Fuck.
So I chilled, and then my sister and my nephew and my niece ended up coming by, which was kind of cool. So I wasn't completely alone, although I wanted a football day, but it was still a football day. It was cool, man. So it was an alright day, dude. Work this week. I'm fucking beat. We're gonna hit it. I don't want to rush through anything, but let's hit some shout-outs real quick, man. Off of episode 126, The Gridiron. First person to hit us up was on Facebook, dude. Brandon Irvine Grinux left us a message, dude. No rush on this, but I'm looking for people to send us fake commercials, and we will be playing a different one each week. Could be as short as you want, but 60 seconds max. Promote yourself, show whatever you want, and then deliver a fake commercial. So two things. Hi, this is Adam Josias. We're Comic Syndicate. Catch us on iTunes, Stitcher. Stupid, like, you know, promotion. And he said send him also a fake commercial if we could on top of that.
Like, okay.
60 seconds long. So I was thinking about it. I got a few ideas going. I don't want to script anything, although I think I can script some funny shit for us. Even if we do it on the fly, we can fucking probably come up with, like, a fake. I got a few ideas, but yeah.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, everyone. Like that? Like a commercial like that?
No, okay.
I like the one we did before where I like comics and Joe likes pussy. And we put them together as Comic Syndicate.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So we can do something like that, but a commercial ad, like, I wanted to come up with a fake item.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you need the fucking Cockbuster 2000, or whatever it might be.
Is your dick too small? If it is,
there you go.
Go ahead and use this fucking product.
And that would be us. And I just script it and have us shoot it back and forth. I think we can kill it on that.
Oh, I already like it. I'm already laughing, right?
All right, cool, man. Yeah, dude. Okay, next one was going to be on Twitter, dude, at FickleFanboyRPM. Hit us up. He says, hey, guys, thanks for the follow. I just got done listening to the last episode entitled The Gridiron, and frankly, you pretty much had me hooked the moment I heard George Carlin's voice in a snippet from one of my favorite specials of his.
That's funny.
I was yours from then on out, LOL. Feel free to check out my own podcast. He's RPM, the all-knowing on SoundCloud.
Okay.
So I listened to that, dude. It's pretty good. I like it. He destroyed Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Like, bad destroying? Or, like, he liked it? Or
no, he didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
But I liked how he was straight about him not liking it. And
hey, it's
fuck
his
this
opinion.
Movie. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, dude, I like when people don't kiss fucking ass. Like, it's... Yeah. Just, yeah. So I'm like, I appreciate it. And I'm like, I did listen to your podcast. So you guys can find him, RPM The All-Knowing, on SoundCloud. And he says, and tweet the link to your heart's content if you like what you hear, but either way, I can't wait to hear what your next episode has in store.
Nothing.
So thanks a lot, dude. Fickle Fanboy. Yeah, we're gonna rush through everything, dude. So yeah, we had a fun episode last week. Always.
It was good. It was back after 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, we got this one. Actually, Mr. Ayo, Mr. Big Geek AC hit us up on Instagram. Yeah, dope show, fellas. And you're right, at Mem the Beaner. It's not a party without the beans. Glad to have you back, dude. Hashtag we need the beaner.
Well, he's fucking, you know, he's busting my balls here.
I got back to him like, you know what, technically.
Busting my balls.
I missed being solo.
You don't
show.
Need Mem.
So
the
we don't
beaner?
Need him after.
You don't fucking need that loser. Wow.
Well. Okay, we're going to go into that a little bit, dude.
Okay.
Now, the last one I'm going to save, we'll save that one. Again, we were talking about Karina Delgado. She's Stark on Comics, Booze, and Profanity.
Yes.
You mentioned she's on Podomatic.
Podomatic, yes.
Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yes, Podomatic is, if you're starting on a podcasting, Podomatic is the devil. It is the worst fucking thing you can do. The problem with Podomatic is...
The bandwidth.
So you pay for... 5 gigs.
Yeah.
And it never resets. So you keep going. Oh, I'm on episode fucking 50. Guess what? Fuck you. Pay us more money.
Yeah.
So me and Joe had a problem with this.
Mm-hmm. And we said, fuck you.
I think after like 50.
Oh, maybe sooner than that, dude.
Yeah, we ran out of quick.
Because we knew we were going to end by like 20... Yeah. 25 maybe. And then it took you... We had to stick with them a full week because you had to get our whole library.
Oh, yeah. I had to steal all our shit back. Yeah.
Which... Technically, we're not stealing.
It's our stuff.
Because if it would have stayed on there, it would have been gone forever.
It would have been wiped.
So, technically, we did it the right way, mm-hmm. and we got our shit. And it's a good thing you kept our library.
It's good stuff. So, we were on Podbean.
Podbean, which we dig on completely, dude.
Completely. So, what they do is you can have 2 gigs, or we have 4 gigs a month. Mm-hmm. And
it gives us enough memory
a lot of memory
to do right. whatever the fuck we want. We can technically do a 2-hour show each week.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, plus
easy, but it resets at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So if you have 2 gigs and you're 1.5, and then the next month it goes back to 2, and it keeps all your shit together. It looks nicer, and
it also acts like a website too, though.
Yes, it does. It keeps your numbers. I think Podomatic does it too, but I like the Podbean controlling.
Yeah,
better user friendly sharing and iTunes. Yeah, all that bullshit. Yeah,
very true. So we like that, dude. So
try them out, guys.
Yeah, we gotta hit her up in a message. Dude.
Okay.
And I still want to shoot the shit with her, anyways, dude. Like on a pod.
She has a lot of. She's going to a lot of cons. You see that?
Yeah, she's going to a lot of anime ones, which we need to go to. But yeah. I just don't have the time right now.
I know.
I'm always working weekends now. So, anyways,
fucking blows.
We got this one today from our boy David, the Empire Esquire burnt out attorney. He says, at for the villain at Comic Syndicate 1, at member Beaner, just listened to episode 126, thumbs up on the Carlin opening. And he says, would a Ritalin versus Adderall hashtag Archie episode work for you? How we went into, like, okay, the CW is going to have
an
Archie spinoff. You know, and we were talking, like, what it would be about.
Just fucking.
Yeah, and then he goes, or how about a Jughead episode where he sends a dick pic to Veronica's dad by mistake? Again, something
CW. Is Jughead gay?
Asexual now, is what I heard.
Yes. Yeah,
so although he's always been.
What is that?
Initially.
What does that mean?
Initially gay.
Okay. He likes dick.
Gay, yeah.
Okay.
Now asexual is the proper term, bisexual. He's like. So he doesn't identify with either.
So sexual. We don't say bisexual when we say asexual.
No, I guess you don't identify necessarily. Because I know if you're lesbian, even gay, they look down upon people that are bisexual.
Oh, because they like dick and not just pussy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can't have both, but bisexual, they dick.
Come on, guys. Anyways, come on.
But anyways, I'm like, LOL, you know, David, fucking, you should send your resume to them because fucking, you can write the show.
That's pretty funny if he did send a dick pic and then the...
That would be an episode.
Dad, or the rich dad picks it up.
Yeah, on CW, that would definitely happen, dude. My favorite one is the last one. Actually, we got this during the weekend. This one was just my favorite. Sorry to put you on the spot, Jonathan. At Spectre_Vision, he says, okay, at for the villain. I finally get your hate for the asshole who should not be named in comics, LOL.
Oh, okay.
And I knew who he was talking about right off the bat.
Fucking,
my homeboy?
Yeah, your homeboy.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, dude, you know why I don't like the dude? I'm like, what would you catch? He sent me an article, dude. His exact quote, if a janitor scripted New Mutants in 98, he'd be the co-creator. That's how it works, buddy, Mr. Liefeld said.
Wow.
Deadpool does not exist in any way, shape, or form without me. Mr. Liefeld added, I wrote the stories, like Jim Lee and others. I worked with a scripter who helped me facilitate. I chose Fabian, and he got the benefit of the Rob Liefeld lottery ticket. Those are good coattails to write, end quote.
Wow, he sounds like McGregor, dude.
He sounds like a pretentious fuck.
Yeah, that's pretty cocky. Just because your fucking movie's coming out, and you know what? You're still not getting that much money from it. So
well, not even that. Well,
it's an asshole.
Okay. Now, okay, let me finish up with Jonathan. Okay. And then I'm like, dude, bummer to hear it. I'm like, he's a fucking prick anyways. Trust me. And he hits me back up. He's like, it's like, what the fuck? I don't even want to see the damn movie because he will think he's the reason it's so great. Which I agree with. And this is Jonathan saying that. Jonathan, I agree, dude. Again, he's a pretentious fucking piece of shit douchebag. A lot of people are excited. And I can't wait to see Deadpool. I'm like, yeah, but Rob Liefeld's a dick. Who? So all the Deadpool fans.
What happened when he left Marvel? Oh, he went to Image. And what book did he write? Oh, yeah, Youngbloods?
Yeah. And Prophet was probably the best thing he did.
That was and he didn't even draw Prophet.
No. It was Stephen Platt.
I think it was
Stephen Platt.
Drew badass.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So again, bummer to hear, but to see and hear so many people praise Deadpool, and again, people that don't know about Deadpool. I love Deadpool. I can't wait to see it. Yeah, well, his creator is a dick. I don't even know who that is. Do you know?
That's even better, right?
So he was what? Deadpool was created in what, 91, 92? It was funny. Yeah. I read a fucking article that I should have posted. I'll take a picture of it and screen it this throughout the week. Deadpool was created in 91. His feet weren't introduced until 93. Because he would always draw.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know how to draw feet.
Yeah.
So he's the best artist ever, guys, and he draws tits on men.
But that's awesome.
It's awesome, right? So I'm going to find that, and I'm going to repost that.
Wow.
So, Jonathan, sorry to hear that. It's a bummer, but, dude, that's like you saying fucking... I'm riding your coattails. Like, I'm on the Adam Garza fucking lottery ticket. This is the fucking
Comic Adam Syndicate. Joe's just fucking here.
I'm just here. I'm the pretty one.
Isn't that fucked up,
right? The pretty airhead.
Isn't that with, what's his name said, though? Your buddy here?
Rob Liefeld?
No, your other buddy on the last Twitter. Oh, you don't need fucking
beans. Oh, yes. I-A-O, Mr. Big AC.
Hurts my fucking feelings.
Does it when you're so holy shit?
Feelings hurt.
That's awesome. But anyways, I thought
that's pretty fucked up. With Liefeld's a dick, and I don't expect anything
less than that, right?
Right?
Okay, yeah, I agree, man.
Made him. He's my movie. Fuck you guys. Keep paying.
Yeah. So, all right, man. Anyways. We're not gonna go through anything too fast, but I have a few things I want to talk about. The man whose coworkers used taser on him heads to court. I was a nervous wreck.
Jesus.
This was just fucked up. But, anyways, you let me know what you think and stop me anytime. A man who filed a lawsuit against his boss, claiming he was teased more than 24 times by coworkers, will get his day in court on Monday.
24 times?
Yeah, dude.
You didn't think to call the cops after the first dozen?
No.
Oh, you guys got at me again.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, he's really? Going my balls are exploding.
Idiot guy, right?
Wow.
Okay, now I don't know if this is what he gets, but again, where are you? Anyways, Bradley Jones worked at Fred Fincher Motors for 4 years, and he says over the course of a few months, he was hit with the taser multiple times by his coworkers. Jones told Inside Edition, "I'm sure everyone's touched the light socket and has been shocked. That's 110 volts. This is 50,000 volts.
Wow.
You can't move. It's excruciating. The sound is horrendous. It's very intimidating, the sound. The whole ordeal, it's very painful." Okay, I don't mean to laugh, but I've been tased before.
You've been tased?
Well,
I have not.
Okay, my brother used to have a taser. So, you know, drunken nights.
Yeah.
And it just sounds fucking nasty anyways. But it's like, drunken nights, it's like, all right, let's see what it feels like. Oh! Even, Bobby, myself, and Val. Yeah, Bobby is one of Bobby's parties. I think I've mentioned on the show before. They had a dog collar.
You did mention
that. And so we were drunk too that night. It's like, let's see what it feels like. And it's like, let's see who's ballsy enough to fucking keep it on the longest. Yeah. And you're like talking. I won that one.
Jesus.
That was stupid. Anyways, this was last week.
But never at your fucking work establishment.
No. I'm with my boys, dude.
I mean, imagine me doing that at my work as a little kid.
Exactly. Hey, that'd be awesome.
Come
dude.
Here.
All right.
How many push-ups?
I don't mean to talk shit on this guy or laugh at him, but he says it got to the point they would hide under my desk. They would pick the locks of the restroom. You just didn't know when they were coming.
Jesus.
Named in the suit is his boss, Sam Harless, and the man's wife, Patricia. Wow. Husband and wife fucked with him. Yeah. Who is a Texas state representative and owner of the dealership. Wow. The Harlesses have called the lawsuit frivolous. Bradley says some of the attacks made him soil his clothes, and that just by walking by the dealership made him fearful. Okay.
Wow.
Find another job. Go to HR. Like, or straight up say...
Hey, some people have those...
Or straight up say, bitch...
Or fuck forever.
Put that fuck... Or just fucking kick his ass. Like, at work, I don't care. I'll lose my job if you've already fucking done something to me. Like, that's...
So he emotionally got scarred. He's shitting his pants.
Yes.
I would tell a story. I made a kid cry today at PE. Scarred for life.
In a way, yeah. I mean, it seems like it. I'm doing my work. Someone sneaks up on me and just zaps me with a taser and I hit the ground. I was totally freaked out. Just a constant nervous.
It's a ground. It's fucking lunch.
I know, right?
It's fucking salad.
That's...
And it just... Come on, guys.
Why? I thought it was funny. Fucked up. Yes, this is a sadistic workplace violence. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. This is something designed for use by law enforcement as alternative to shooting someone for crying out loud.
Jesus.
Now a jury will decide whether this is just an innocent prank or something much more serious. Jones said, "I just want them to take responsibility for what they've done. Don't do it again. I've never had an apology. They still think it's a joke."
I could just see him in the courtroom. Hey, buddy. Oh, you got me again.
Okay.
So bad.
It sucks.
Kids grow some balls. And say, hey, bro, we're not in kids' school anymore.
It sucks, right?
But if you do it again, I'm going to fuck you up.
Do you want to feel like a pussy real quick? Okay, no. I was going to change our article.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I know, right? Okay, Roger the Kangaroo is back, and he's showing off his guns again.
Roger the Rat?
Roger the Buff Kangaroo is back, and it looks like he has been working out. The muscly marsupial bounced to fame last year when he was discovered at a kangaroo sanctuary in Alice Springs, a remote town in Australia's northern territory. The 7-foot-tall beast, who weighs some 200 pounds, was shown flexes his considerable muscles and crushing metal buckets with his bare paws. How does this fucking kangaroo make you feel about yourself?
Jesus. This guy, look at this guy.
How buff is he?
He will fuck you up. He has a fucking chest. He's got pecs. Pecs and he's a six pack.
He's got guns on his guns, dude. So, yeah.
He's made every man right now look like, hey, this kangaroo
is a badass, right?
Could totally take my woman from me.
Yeah, totally, man. All right, three rounds. Dude, we can hit maybe one more article or we can... Actually, let's do this one.
Let's do it.
All right, it's going to be a quick sex one. You and your long-distance partner can now have sex long distance.
Ooh.
What smart sex toys?
Oh, jeez.
When it comes to the future of sex, science has one word for you. Ooh, teledildonics. The real-life field of having sex toys communicate across distances so partners feel the same thing. That exciting new frontier of science has made a number of breakthroughs recently in parallel with the exploding realm of virtual reality porn and virtual reality sex. Put them together, and what do you get besides a hot sticky mess? Trying to be funny. The brand new long-distance sex system pairing a dildo and a sex sleeve that communicate to allow couples to send anatomical sensations to each other over the internet. There have been other attempts to do this, but a new system profiled by BBC reporter Tiger Drew Honey, yes, really, is the most advanced yet. And it came with a video, and literally the video is like a cock sleeve. And
with a fucking big ass antenna on it, Bluetooth.
No, I guess it's built in, but kind of, yeah. Okay, you're on the right track. So like that cup, but it's just a whole sleeve in there. Now, her dildo is a dildo, but it's weird because the video shows like any pressure she puts on the spot of the dildo, like the inside of the sleeve, puts pressure on that part of your cup.
Right. Wherever it is. Oh wow.
Yeah, I was tripping on that. I'll show you that video too. Jesus. You're probably gonna like the Eli Manning. We might even play the Eli Manning coming back from break.
Okay, all right.
But if you want to do any of those, I know we're kind of short on time tonight. Well, actually, we're looking good on time, dude. All
right, all right.
But it's up to you, dude. We can do one more article or bounce and come back and take...
Let's bounce and get the video up.
Okay, cool, cool. We'll do that, dude. All right, guys. That was the first part of the show. Jonathan, again, bummer, dude. I listened to commercials.
Oh, yes, commercials real quick. Go to our website, www. We don't even do W's anymore, right?
No.
TheComicsCynic.com.
Yeah.
Go on there, and we have our Amazon. We're still collecting lots and lots of...
Yeah, it's banking up.
...money. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to put up our intro to our YouTube
video. Which looks dope, dude.
So, yeah, I wanted to talk to Joe about it, and maybe we will do our giveaways on... that YouTube channel. So that way we can show you what you're getting. A lot of people don't know what the fuck we're
talking
about.
Awesome, that's true. Yeah.
And you can see our fucking ugly face and Joe's beautiful face.
And I fucked up on the last packages I mailed. I mailed the wrong prizes to the wrong person.
Well, you know what? Everybody got a prize.
Everyone's still going to get a prize. Yeah, so my bad on that one, guys. But the video did look fucking awesome, that commercial.
Yeah, it looks cool. So we're going to maybe do some giveaways on that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do
and
that.
And then, you know, hey, you gotta like, share, whatever. We'll figure it out. But it looks pretty cool, and I'll put that up later.
Yeah. All right, guys. You guys can find us at thecomicsyndicate.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. You guys can find us on Wicked Radio Network.
Renegade Radio, Wicked Radio, and
Nerdbong. Yeah, and those guys are fucking dope, dude. They finally dropped their episode. They gave us fucking props on
that. Nice. Very cool, guys. Yeah, so I got to talk to them
on Hesh podcast I got to listen to.
Oh, Jake. I haven't talked to Jake.
He hasn't. I know, dude. We text every now and then, but it's cool when I get a message from him. It's like,
what's up? Google chat's gone, man.
Everyone's busy, I think, dude.
Yeah,
but anyways, we'll get back on that, dude. So very cool, Cats. Thanks, Baked English Podcast, and Hesh for the love, man. All right, we'll be right back with Comic Talk.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back.
Comic talk,
and we got lots of.
That was fucking funny.
That was funny. We just listened to the fucking K-Rock.
Kevin Bean.
With Eli.
Ralph Garman doing his Eli Manning impression.
Pretty funny. I liked
it. I love his Eli impression.
And,
I've asked him to do one or wrote him a shout out before on one of the Hollywood Babylons I went to. Mm-hmm. And I think it's as bad as the fucking McDonald's fry girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, impression. Like, Jesus. Or as good. I don't know if it's good or bad, but Eli Manning. So anyways, dude, I'm glad you liked that, dude.
Very funny.
We'll figure out if we want to toss that on at the end of the episode or not. All right, comic news on that.
Sweet.
All right, MacGyver pilot ordered at CBS.
I heard about that. I loved MacGyver.
Me too, as a kid, dude. Yeah.
I was a little kid, so I don't really know what the fuck was going on. But I liked it because he made shit out of anything.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't mind. I mean, it hasn't been done before.
This is going to be him before he knows all the moves, I heard.
I heard there was a pilot ordered, and they also want to do a movie.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard Ralph was talking about it.
And, yeah.
He said, this is going to be before...
Yeah.
He's training to become
so those are two
the fucking MacGyver. Mm-hmm. So, very cool.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, again, it's kind of original. It's a throwback, but it hasn't been used before.
Everyone's doing that now, though.
Who's MacGyver in our world today?
That's a good question.
It's not any of the Fast and Furious kids. They're too busy dying.
Too many trees.
Anyways. Okay, so I wouldn't mind. Star Trek, William Shatner would absolutely play an older Captain Kirk if given a chance. See, how do we feel about that?
You know what? He's had his time.
Yeah.
I don't like Star Trek, but he's
weird. You're lazy to Star Trek, man, right?
She is, but he's weird. I mean, he's a good actor, but he plays kind of the same part, like an asshole. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. And next one, Deadpool's Reynolds. Haha, this is the all Deadpool episode. Deadpool, Reynolds, and Miller discuss chances of Deadpool versus Wolverine.
I saw that. So they were talking, not...
How do we feel about
friendly
that?
Friendly talking shit between him and...
And Wolverine.
And Wolverine, like, you
Hugh
know.
Hugh Jackman. I would be down with that. I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, dude.
Oh, he is Wolverine. That's going to be a problem in about 5 fucking years.
Yeah, no,
where he's too old.
Okay, I'm down with that, dude.
I'm down to watch that.
Okay, good. Me too. Saul Legacy continues at Lionsgate with Sorority Row Riders.
Do we have enough Sauls?
I like those movies. For what they are. I like gory. I'm a scary movie fanatic. Love them.
I think they should start something new and move on.
I agree.
And pack on to
maybe
that.
The same type of deal, or even the Hostels. I liked, but they're more
they're gross.
Fucked up, gory, sick shit.
I can't watch those. I saw the first one. It was
kind of
gross.
Next one, I'm kind of on board with. Ethan Hawke talks to reprise role in CBS's Training Day series.
Oh yeah, I heard that too. Mm-hmm. I loved that movie.
Me too. Dude.
That movie was
so good. Written, so good. Lovely.
Music.
Acting great on everyone's part, dude. I love the fuck.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
I would be down with a show that's consistent with the writing, which is going to be the original.
So it'll be the cop
that survives. Yes, I believe he's like the... Yes, Ethan Hawke's character is like a...
And he'll play him?
Like he'll play that same guy higher up now, but like there's a new youngster on the force who is either trying to get shady or trying to stay straight. Or I guess we'll see.
That was hilarious. Do some of this drugs. No, I don't want to do it.
That whole movie was dope, though. Like, he had dumb luck, too, where it's like, okay, then when they put him in the bathtub, like, we're gonna kill you.
Oh, my God.
I swear,
God.
I saved... Why do you have my fucking cousin's fucking picture? I swear I saved her today. Like, that scene alone...
Well, everything, that whole
thing... The whole movie was fucked.
He was in on when they killed and got all that money from the fucking ground. It's like, everything happened that day.
Yeah, so, great movie. I'm kind of behind it, especially Sam Ryder.
Yeah.
Next one, Netflix's Voltron series comes to life with official title and new logo. How do you feel about Voltron on Netflix?
It's going to be a cartoon?
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Netflix has a lot of anime, their own anime.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're getting their own animes.
I picked it up for Jessica Jones. I got fucking two more to go through. And then Daredevil starts next week.
Oh, yes.
So I'm on board on that.
Next week?
Next weekend. Yes. The 18th, yeah. Next one's going to be Del Rey's... I'm sorry, Colin Bunn and Del Rey's The Empty Man. Adapted for TV.
Ooh, Colin Bunn.
Yeah. Empty Man was good.
Empty Man.
It was like a pastor who... Actually, a lot of people that were infected with some sort of, I don't know, evil essence or whatever.
Okay, like a
and
presence?
It wasn't like alien. It looked like demon almost possession. Not like Robert Kirkman's straight up possession, but it was, looked like a different force mind. It was good. It was dark. It's Colin Bunn style, so...
Yeah, I mean, if Bunn's going to do anything, he does that stuff really well.
Yeah. Charlize Theron and talks to play Fast 8's villain. Okay, now, part 8 and 9 have been already thrown out that they are going to do.
We're talking about Fast and Furious,
minus
right?
the plot details. Did any of those movies have a fucking plot, though?
Yeah, you drive cars fast and you fuck girls.
Furiously, I guess.
Furiously, okay.
And then I just
drive into trees.
Yeah, one of my girlfriends, she's like, you want to watch this movie with me? Fast and or whatever.
I think we're the only two that don't like this fucking movie, bro.
Fuck, dude. Give me a good fucking movie.
No, but everybody loves this shit. It's like fucking Harry Potter and it's like Star Wars to these fuckers.
All right, is Boba Fett in Rogue One a Star Wars story? New Lego promo art for upcoming Star Wars anthology films features Boba Fett's ship, the Slave One.
That'd be so good.
I would be down with
that. That'd be so good.
Possibly it's within that time error.
Yeah.
Okay, well, next one's going to be... Oh, this one's interesting. Hasbro and Mattel reportedly in merger talks. A report says the world's two largest toy companies are contemplating a merger. Hasbro and Mattel, the world's two largest toy companies, are considering a merger. Bloomberg Business reports that the toy giants met in late 2015 to discuss possible transaction and have continued to have talks since.
Hmm.
If the deal goes through, the resulting company would be the world's single biggest toy manufacturer and have the license for Marvel, which is Hasbro, wow, and DC, which is Mattel figures.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
And Mattel was also what fucking He-Man, all those.
Yeah,
stuff.
He-Man.
I mean, pretty much if
DC,
they do that,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But pretty much that catalog alone is pretty much bank. That's like fucking straight monopoly of a toy industry.
That would have been like Best Buy when Circuit City went out of business.
Pretty much,
that was pretty much the big dog. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Maybe buy electronics.
I don't know. Some toys are made better than others. I've noticed the Marvel toys are okay.
The DC toys
figures look a little more like you. If you lift his arm up, his arm will fall off type of deal.
Well, I think the design on DC toys are a lot better than Marvel. I mean, Marvel does things well, and
although
DC
the
does
Marvel
well.
Legends, I like those figures.
Man, I don't know. DC
and they're hit or miss. Though.
DC has some really nice, not just not the statues,
okay,
but
not
like
the statues.
Well, the statues
you're
are
right.
nice.
The Justice League figures,
yeah,
line
the
is good.
The arc, the you know, the Batman's, but the
yes,
but the old
good.
School
yeah.
square face bodies,
yeah,
really nice.
Yeah.
And
okay, yeah, I'll back you up on that, dude. You know what? Yeah.
Cause you like figures.
Mm-hmm.
I like. I buy a little bit of statues, but I don't care.
I have busts at work. That's about it. Mini statue busts, dude. But okay.
Deadpool.
So
you have Deadpool.
I have 5 Deadpool. Oh wait, I have 5 Rob Liefeld statues.
I'm just kidding.
That guy can suck my balls.
Ball sack.
Next one's gonna be, dude. Hasbro rolls out. This one I saw this today. Rolls out a Transformers inspired album. This is going to be arriving in April. Transformers Rollout will feature music from the likes of Bush, Mount Holly, Crash Kings, and El Rey. I don't know how I feel about it. Depends on how good the songs are. I don't know if you've heard any of these bands. Mount Holly, you know?
No.
Bush,
like old school?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Except not the full band. I think
singers still,
so yeah.
Okay.
Crash Kings, I think I've heard.
I've
yeah.
heard of them.
Mew?
No.
El Rey, I've heard of. Don't think I've heard anything. Spurs, don't know what that is. Jameson Burt, don't know who is. Ours, Darby, Born Cages.
Jesus.
But yeah, they're gonna come up with an album. And I did. We mentioned a few months ago how the Hasbro IDW is trying to branch out into more factions of figures and like
right.
have them all be one giant connected thing. So that could be part of it. I'm curious. I love music, so I'll give it a shot. I won't buy it. I'll have you buy it and then. Burn it. I mean,
Amigos, illegal.
Daredevil, Punisher, and these are comics now. Daredevil, Punisher crossover coming in May, coinciding with their Netflix crossover.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not cool with that, dude. Next one's going to be comics. Oh, here's a new one, dude. Near Mint Amazing Fantasy number 15 could sell for $400,000. The 1962 comic could fetch for a good price. A Near Mint copy of Marvin Amazing Fantasy number 15, featuring the 1962 first appearance of Spider-Man, is expected to sell for more than $400,000.
Wow. A lot of money.
And
man.
That's going to be the highest selling comic if that goes through for that much.
Wow.
That's what they're expecting. All right, man, let's hit some comic reviews.
Comics. I read Spider-Man number 1. We are dealing with not Peter Parker, but we are dealing with Miles. We got Miles as Spider-Man already face to face with a villain, Blackheart. So they kind of do a back and forth thing. So they show you part of the, they show you what happened, and then they go back to how it happened.
Yeah.
So Blackheart, kind of like a Gothic, has a sword, demon type. I thought he was kind of like a demon knight.
Mephisto's son, but yeah.
Yeah, a Mephisto's son. We see Miles facing teen problems with relationships, bad grades, and trying to balancing out superhero stuff and teen stuff.
Nicely put, yeah.
Isn't very easy for them. He ditches class to go do some superhero stuff. On his way, he needs to do something. Maybe he's thinking about, like, you know, since I'm on his way over there, like, fuck, I need to get a job. Like, if I can't do school, like, what the fuck am I going to do? Mm. So this whole book is at him as a teenager. So Bendis is doing a really good job at showing him, like, teen problems. Back to Blackheart, causing havoc, taking out Sam William Wilson, Captain America. So the fight's already happening when he gets there. Miles picks up the shield. Really cool panel. I liked
it. I liked it too.
You liked it?
I liked it. I mean, I didn't like seeing the Avengers laid out.
Like, easy breezy, like, done. Yeah. But that panel with him holding the shield was...
He's like, fuck, should I? He's like, oh, shit, yeah.
You have to, right? He uses a Venom Blast type...
Yeah, one of his stings or whatever. Stingers. But it was... too easy.
Yeah, to stun the bad guy, it takes off.
From hell, by the way, guys. Yeah. He's from hell.
Leaving the Avengers defeated.
And he's like, oh, fuck, I will be back. And I will kill you. Like,
I will be back tomorrow with fucking some kind of other costume to block that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get Peter Parker. I'm thinking it's Peter Parker.
Yeah, it's got to be our Peter Parker.
And he's like, what the fuck happened, bitch? You were in my suit.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And they do know about each other, though. So but Spider-Man's like, okay, what the fuck did you do?
I liked it.
Not bad. Not bad first issue, dude. Okay, this one is going to be quick as well. A-Force number 2. Kelly Thompson and G. Willow Wilson are the writers. George Molina, I'm loving the art in this already. Great art, and the color is going to be by Laura Martin. It's pretty much Singularity. So whoever was reading, I think we were the only ones, talking about A-Force from Battle World, from Secret Wars.
Okay.
It was pretty much Singularity, the literal... She's got a black body, and you can see the universe.
The stars and shit, yeah.
Which looks nice, dude. And that's why I love the art in this. It's pretty much her now on our 616 world, and she has memories of the A-Force members. So she knows her powers, she can tell where they're at. She's trying to pinpoint them because she's like, they're my friends, they'll help me out. In our 616, everyone bumps heads. They're not all best friends like it was on Battle World. So every time she asks for help, like Medusa's a bitch to her, she like wants to shackle her up. She-Hulk wants to help her out, and it's just figuring out like this giant creature is after her, kicking her ass. It's called Antimatter, and he's a giant, and she's the only one that can hurt this character. It's just cool. I love it how she feels like friends, and the way she talks is really, I don't want to say Eli Manning, a little dumbed down, and just really like a kind of like a kid.
Okay.
You know, but innocent, very innocent though. Not Magic Bus. So not Eli Manning at all. Okay. Smarter than Eli Manning by far, but more kid out, I guess. So she's trying to get this team together, and it's cool because at first the women are bumping heads. So Medusa and She-Hulk are bumping heads, but then they realize like, fuck, all right, she needs help. From what we can tell so far, she's not gonna affect or hurt anybody. We need to help her out. So it goes on to the next person. That Singularity is just trying to get the teams together, and each of them tries to face on this creature. And each time they face him, they're able to stop him for a short time being. The last person they go to, it happens to be Dazzler. So it's Medusa, She-Hulk, Nico put some magic spell on him, and she was one of the A-Force members on Battle World. So again, to see these characters come together, the last one they go for to help is Dazzler. But Captain Marvel also comes to help out. She's like, okay, whatever the fuck happened in space, what's going on? So now we have our A-Force team together, working together. A bunch of chicks. If you want women, strong girl power, this was fucking cool to read.
Nice.
The art was great. It was cool. It was fun. And it was, again, seeing this youngster like getting this team together of like normally you would never see them work together. I like the chemistry amongst all the characters and the different vibe they each have. So yeah, nice. It was cool. I like it, man. Go for it.
All right, Uncanny X-Men number 3. We got Magneto's crew trying to stop the Dark Riders from ruining, from killing all the mutant healers. We find out they're after healers. I don't know his name, but he's his name is Tri.
Oh, Triage.
Triage.
He was the
in the last.
Yes, Uncanny.
Uncanny.
He was the, and he looks like he's more
mature.
Mature, exactly. Best word, but yeah.
Is on the list to die on the crew. Magneto goes to work on the to defend him from the Dark Riders. So
why Psylocke has like a telekinetic link?
Yeah, she's trying to,
which is cool.
Figure out what they're about and where they're coming from. To see what they're all about. Pretty much, we get that they are holy crusaders and they are totally brainwashed into this. The healer goes, you know, the healer still wants to heal a couple people, and once Psylocke gets the info, Magneto goes to town.
I like how Triage though is still more like a. No, these people need my help. Like, I have
like I can't powers. Leave.
Yeah. Which I like it.
Yeah, I did. Magneto really lets loose on these guys.
Yeah. It kind of looks like he fucking fucks.
Fucks shit up.
Pretty good.
They run away. Triage goes with the X-Men. And
kind of forcibly, but not necessarily forcibly.
Like, they're like, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
And they're going to kill everybody. Not just you, but they're going to kill everybody to get to you.
They're going
to
come back, yeah.
So he takes off with them, and it's I like this part. They go to Magneto's Utopia, and Magneto from the very beginning,
Genosha,
he's been thinking like, I need to make this place for mutants. We're gonna have our own town, and he's finally realizing like that was a fucking for 50 years. I don't know what I was thinking.
You know what though? I like though, because he's always had that conflict amongst himself.
Right, right. Know? But he's finally come to terms. Like it's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
like I can't do it.
And so even just stepping foot on this piece of land, he always feels that guilt. Like fuck, I always come back here, and it always ends up in shit.
And people die. Millions of people die. Oh, so we get I forgot his name. He's from the X-Force.
Phantom X, actually.
Phantom X. So he's on a mission, and I don't know if he's working with Psylocke and everyone, but he's on a mission, and he's gone into this warehouse full of these mutants that are
cryogenically frozen.
Frozen. Yeah. And it's a lot of them. And he gets out of there because he got caught. And he's talking to Medusa.
Yeah.
So we don't know really what's going on there. Mm-hmm. He says, tell our masters.
Yeah.
So we got someone that's in charge of him and Medusa.
And not...
Mystique.
Mystique, yeah. Medusa. Yeah, no, it's Cody. I was just on like, wait a second. Yeah, okay, I liked it, dude.
I like Mystique.
My next one's going to be Nova number 4.
Nice.
Sean Ryan is the writer. Corey Smith is the artist. The art on this, too, is fucking great, dude. David Kuro.
Better than the last Nova series?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
But actually, maybe.
Might be better.
It's rivals. I'll say rivals.
Okay.
And even for the X-Force number 2, guys, Book of the Week. This one was Book of the Week because it was pretty much Sam with help from Kamala Khan, which is Ms. Marvel, and Miles Morales, which is fucking Spider-Man from 2016? 1016. So it's him, the three kids, they're all fucking kids straight up working together. Now, the prior issues have been his dad in Arizona are getting these like fucking quakes. And every time a quake happens, a monster appears. So now he has help from Miles and from Kamala Khan, Captain Marvel, or Ms. Marvel, and they go underground to figure out what's going on. They go deep into this fucking tunnel. And the kids book it. So Miles and Kamala Khan book it after like an avalanche happens. And Nova being Nova, the Nova we've spoken about before, still him, needs to know what's going on. Like, I need to figure out what the hell is going on. The deeper he goes, he realizes that there's an army of mole creatures.
Okay.
Now, Mole Man was a big BC character. In prior issues with Fantastic Four, with the Avengers, he's not a big threat. But apparently his kid now, his son, takes over, and he's the Emperor Mole, or whatever. Actually, I believe it is the Emperor Mole. And it's the weapons they have are able to stop Nova. And it's kind of cool to see, but he fights and he's able to hold his own, but he's getting rocked too because of the weapons they have. So he gets humbled a bit. It's like Neo to me is like, no, dude, like, what's going on? Like, why are you doing this? He's like, well, I'm the new Super Emperor now. But what about your dad? Like, fuck that old man. He's a piece of shit. Fuck him. I hate his guts. And then it's that's probably why this was Book of the Week for me, because, and this is one of the few comics, the comic you have to read twice is good. So Nova's trying to talk him down, like, he's a kid too. Like, he's like, but he's your fucking dad.
Totally opposite from Nova, because Nova loves his dad, right?
Yes. And he's trying to talk Homeboy down, like, why do you have so much remorse towards your dad? He's a loser. He fucking bailed on me. I don't. So kind of what Nova's going through, too.
Wow.
But again, I think we've mentioned before the nature versus nurture thing, where it's like, okay, well, if you had a bastard dad who was never there for you, but Nova had his mom, we've never seen a mole broad before. So anyways, just kind of cool how when they shackle him up again, Miles Morales whips him out fucking with his web, and Kamala Khan, they actually go out. It's like, dude, we need to get the hell out of here. Like, we can't take them on by ourselves. We're just fucking kids. Mm-hmm. And the three of them realizing, like, we're kids. And Nova looking back at the tunnel, like, fuck. Like, there's more I can do. Anyways, he realizes, like, okay, we need help from the Avengers. We need to talk to fucking Steve Rogers. He books it. As soon as he goes straight home. It's like, they even ask him, like, all right, dude, let's go talk to Steve right now. He's like, no, I gotta go home. There's something. All right, I have something to do, quote unquote. He flies straight home, and his family's gone. His sister's at the babysitter's house. His mom's working her third fucking shift of the day, like she always does. He gets home, and it's cool. I guess he felt guilty for seeing the mole kid grow up that way and have that much angst against his dad, where he feels bad now, like, he just rips off his helmet and he fucking starts throwing it, starts kicking all over the place. Like, I fucking hate you. I wish I never would have come across you. I wish I would never found you. He's like, and he realizes as a kid, like, I'm not spending enough time with my family. That's, so as a kid, for him to finally catch that, like, and that's why his mom's always been worried about him, you know. But like, to see that as a kid, for any kid to grow up like that, it's an eye opener when any kid realizes that.
Yeah.
So it was Book of the Week, dude. It was fucking good, dude. Well, one of.
Very nice, very nice. Uncanny Avengers number 5. We have Cable, Rogue, Deadpool on a cruise ship looking for information on Red Skull.
Mm.
With some muscle, they get some info by pretty much kicking the shit out of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy, I don't know if that's it's Flame On. I don't know if that's him.
Johnny Storm.
Is that Johnny Storm in there too?
Johnny Storm is helping out the scientists.
Okay, so because there's another guy on the ship, but he takes off too. But it looked like he had flames. But anyways, they get the information they need pretty much real quickly. Deadpool tries, you know what, I got to get going. I got to go fucking do something. In his timeline, he hits the button, doesn't go anywhere. Like, oh shit, you know, are we supposed to still be seeing you? So what happened was in the battle before... Striker? His main bad guy that Cable fights.
Yes.
He did something to his armor where he cannot go back. So he needs to go ahead and fix it.
I didn't read that one. Go for it.
Oh yeah, so he can't jump anymore.
Okay, yeah, I can't time jump.
He can't go back to the future. He is anchored from his previous fight, like I just said. I'm reading this again. So they need to they find the place where they're supposed to go to get some information on Red Skull. The crew goes down there, and the fucking cover's really misleading. But anyways, they break in, they go in the room, and it's fucking, they run into fucking Gambit.
Oh, interesting.
And Rogue fucking, I mean, immediately wants to fuck him, right? Wants to, like, get
go
some
for
stuff.
No, and, no, no, go for it.
And she even tries to kiss him, and he backs off, and he knows that she has... the Terra Mist or whatever.
The Turrican Mist.
On a disease on it. He goes, I don't know if this could be
contagious.
Contagious. I don't want your STDs, right?
Pretty much. And it's funny because he always wanted to get at her.
Right.
That would be such a chick move to fucking do too.
But when it gets worse.
Oh, great.
So they're like, okay, well, we came empty handed. They leave. And it was all a fucking red screen. So it was actually Red Skull using Xavier's telepathic to show them who they, you know, an empty room,
yeah,
and him as Gambit. And in reality, it's Red Skull in a room full of gold in a black case.
Interesting. All right, all right.
So it was kind of like, that's kind of, nobody caught it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So he fooled them, like, totally.
But to see Red Skull finally after the post-Secret Wars is kind of cool.
That was cool. He's with his daughter. So using Xavier's powers fools the Avengers. And he has already leave with the gold.
Pretty much the game plan. That's game the plan. Heist. Okay. Next one's going to be Cover of the Year candidate. And Book of the Week for sure. Or one of. Definitely Book of the Week, I think, too. Maybe Book of the Year, too. Vision number 4, dude. Tom King is the writer. Gabriel Hernandez Walta is the artist. I love Jordi Berliner's inks. Anyways, dude. It's Vision number 4. Whew. Okay, in a nutshell. It's Vision and his family. Virginia, Viv, and their son. Vin and Viv are the name of the kids. The kids are pretty much trying to be taught normalcy, being a Vision. Vision is telling them, like, okay, learn as much as you can and interact with these people because you're living amongst these people. Vision, or Vision's son, Vin, had an issue with one of the kids, kind of choked him out, prior issue.
Saw that, that was awesome.
And issue number 2 was pretty much the Reaper coming, trying to kill...
Murder the whole fucking family.
Yeah. The mom, he slices up Viv, the girl, and that goes into shock. And the mom takes things into her own hand, and she kills homeboy. Now, one of the issues, she buries the body.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody had captured it, like, oh, fuck, what's going on? So now somebody is blackmailing her straight up.
Oh, shit.
Now, she keeps getting messages throughout the day, at a certain time, every day, and this guy finally tells her, like, meet me at this place. I need to let you know what's going on. So she's freaked out. I don't know who this is. She's a Vision. She's not as powerful as a Vision. Although she can phase. She has the abilities, which, anyways. So they're trying to live a normal life as Visions. Although the wife just seems like a guilty broad anyways. And I like the conversations and interactions that Vin and Viv have, which are the brother and sister. They go back to school and they get ostracized right off the bat. I like always the kid aspect of it sucks being a fucking kid in school. Being ostracized or just being looked down upon or just looking like you're different. It sucks. Like, you know, every kid goes through that. So that I like the way it's written on that aspect. The trippy part of this is Vision's doing his normal Avengers job. So he's like, babe, just take care of this shit. Like, I'm working. I'm fighting fucking...
Will you leave me the goddamn alone?
You know? Let God. Me know, bitch.
Scarlet Witch is here. You're fucking killing my fucking...
You kind of... So anyways, as he's working, she gets this call. She finally meets up this character, this person we get introduced to. So many humanizing aspects of this, dude. One of the boys from school that actually Vin had choked out, one day he asked her, after school, you mind if I walk you home? And they have a great conversation. And the humanizing aspect they have, like, he's like, I just want to let you know you can be different, but I think you're kind of cool. As a kid hearing that, that's fucking means a lot to you. And it's cool, even her dialogue, her inner monologue is like, I never told my mom or my dad this, but whatever happens next, I would always play his last words to comfort me. So it was finally somebody reaching out to her. Again, the humanizing aspect was fucking beautiful. And then it gets crazy because now at the end, she goes to this guy's house and he's like, all right, I'm the one who take a video of you. It's like, what I need you to do, I can send this up to a bunch of sources, but what I need you to do is I need you and your family to get the fuck out of here. We don't like you.
Wow.
Again, persecuting these fucking Vision people, this Vision family. You need to get the fuck out of here. I know you killed this person. I don't want you hurting any of us. Like, again, the hate mongering people that are like that in the world today.
You mean fucking Liefeld?
Kind of. Yeah, yeah. Rob Liefeld Jr. So it's interesting because she's like, no, my family lives here. We belong here. We belong with you guys. And I don't want to fuck up the story, dude. The guy's son is upstairs. He's like, oh, Dad has a visitor. So he's like, Dad, what's going on down there? And the guy pulls out a gun. And he's like, I told you, get the fuck out of here. And she's like, well, how dare you threaten me? And he takes a shot. But she phases out. I'm not going to fuck up the story, dude.
Did he fucking shoot his son?
It was fucking weird. It was great. It was great. I loved it. That's why it was book of the week, book of the fucking year already.
So it's a
good. Again,
okay, I'll read it.
The humanizing aspect of the little young Vision Viv and her and just kids' struggles already as Vision kids was great. And then the mom being, I need to take things into my own hands, but like her not wanting to hurt anybody. It was great. Okay. So book of the fucking week. Book of the year candidate already. Wow. And cover of the year too. Like, I'm going to fucking probably suck this comic's dick all year.
If they can keep it. He already but come
it,
twice.
If it sounds good, it really fucking is. It's gnarly. It's barely four issues in, guys. It's really good. Check it out. Yeah, I loved it. Book of the week.
Very cool. Very cool. All
right, guys. I think that's true, right?
That's it. All right, buddy.
Man. Any commercials, anything you want
to
add?
We already said the commercials already. Amazon, go to our website, hit the Amazon, buy.
Yep.
Lots of good stuff out there. You can find me at Mem the Beaner on Instagram and Twitter.
Cool. Yes, I forgot about Instagram. You guys can find me at For the Villain on Instagram, on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. You guys like us on Facebook or Comic Syndicate. You guys can find us in WickedRadioNetwork.com, RenegadeRadioNetwork.com, NerdBongRadioNetwork.com. You guys can download us on iTunes at Stitcher, TheComicSyndicate.com, TheComicSyndicate.podbean.com. We need you guys to do us a favor. Share the podcast, guys. We know you're not your typical podcast. Comic podcast. We talk about everything and we talk shit on everything. We love doing this. But, yeah, big shout-out to NerdBong crew and Baked English Pod. They gave us some fucking good love, dude.
Thank you, guys.
So thanks, Babblefish, and thanks, G. You guys are fucking dope. We totally appreciate it, man. We will catch you guys next week.
Peace out.
Peace out.